Good day, everybody.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 34 of the Good Day podcast, where Max and I talk about our adventures down under.
How confused were you when you said 34?
Is it episode 34?
I don't know.
I was just taking a total guess there. Oh, you join us again for another week of fun adventure and lots of activities, lots of stuff going down this week. We're in between houses, traveling, and getting settled into the new house. We got a lot to talk about on this week's episode.
It's been super, super fun.
Yes, and we left off saying goodbye to Magnetic Island, goodbye to Maxie's old boss, Sharon, who really, like, it was sad leaving.
Yeah, even Corey was nearly crying. She's my Aussie mom, as she's
office mom.
She self-proclaimed herself that. Sad. She gave us a tour of her house, and we got to meet her pet bird, and she seemed really sad to see us go.
I know, it was really sad. I mean, like, I was sad leaving the island. I didn't realize how, like, I mean, when you're in a place, like, those 2 weeks or 2 months we were there went by so quick. And it's, like, interesting how quick you can build a relationship to a place like Magnetic Island. It was so beautiful, and we had a great routine there, and time to snap out of it and get back into the travel mode.
Back into that rooftop tent.
Back into the rooftop tent, which, oh, we'll get to it, but the first night in the rooftop tent back in the mainland, just a little bit of sprinkle, not too bad.
But, like, obviously it had to sprinkle. It was just so annoying.
It didn't rain for 8 weeks on Magnetic Island. And I even said, oh my gosh, this place, like, when is the wet season? It doesn't rain. Like, here, it's crazy. And then the first night, it sprinkles and just, like, gets our stuff wet. But
yeah, I don't mind the rain. It's just that it's annoying to close up the rooftop tent with moisture in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but saying goodbye to Sharon was really, really sad. And
love Sharon. We've really built a strong connection in the 2 months.
Yeah, and back
up. See her again, or she'll visit us in the U.S.
Yeah, we definitely want to come back to Magnetic Island. It's such a nice place. And
yeah, it has everything you really want in Australia. It even gets waves when there's...
Yes, there's surf there.
When the weather isn't good.
When the weather... Yeah, it's like, I guess the reef blocks all the waves, but nothing compares.
No, we've seen some big waves, though.
But nothing compares to the Ningaloo Reef.
Yes.
The Great Barrier Reef is terrible.
Oh my god, I wouldn't go as far to say that.
No, we just like the Ningaloo. I like the Ningaloo better.
And I like the Ningaloo better.
I've been spreading so much the Great Barrier Reef isn't that great information around.
Propaganda.
Yes. So that's been my agenda lately, to make people think that the Great Barrier Reef isn't that great, which it isn't.
It's cool, guys. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we spent our first night camping in Bowen, and then we went on to Airlie Beach, where we've been there for, I don't know, a long weekend, 5 years ago.
So it was our first spot besides Sydney that we've gotten to that we've been 5 years later. And I barely remembered it. Maxie had a much better memory of,
like, I have vivid memories of being there.
All I remember was the homeless dude. Okay.
Yes.
We'll tell this story really quick. But so we had an Airbnb just outside of town.
No, it was just right, like, literally he means right outside of the main strip.
Right outside the main strip, like, probably 400 yards.
Sure.
If that.
Yeah.
And it was, like, part of this hotel, but it was, like, I don't know, some sort of inside job hotel Airbnb that wasn't an official room. And it was, like, in the garage of the Airbnb, of the hotel.
Yeah, basically, we got the windowless dungeon Airbnb. They had other units, but I guess we got put in the garage dungeon.
Yeah, and it was nice because it was cheap, and we got to explore Airlie Beach. We got to do some tours and stuff. Yeah, this was back in the day. We didn't have no rooftop tent back then. And one morning, I think it was a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I wake up because we left our beach towels outside to dry on, like, whatever. There was a couple, like, beach chairs or lawn chairs that the pool was using that was upstairs that they had just in the garage. and I see wrapped up using our beach towels as blankets is just a homeless backpacker sleeping on it. And I open the door. He opens his eyes. We make eye contact.
I forgot about that.
Lock eyes. I don't know what to do because there's just see this dude sitting here
with our blankets as his or our towels
as his blankets. And I just turn around and go back inside and lock the door. And I'm like, he can have those towels if he really wants them.
Yeah, it felt like, I don't know, like an intrusion because that was our space and those were our things. And he was sleeping in our space.
Sleeping in our space with
like
our
towels. It was
towels.
Our garage.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest, craziest experiences from that trip 5 years ago.
But and we hunted down that place. We walked to it, and it was the exact same.
Exact same. We walked into the garage. There was no lawn chairs for me to sleep on this time, though, but I would have, just to repay the favor to any Airbnbers who were using that suite. But yeah, we explored Airlie Beach, I think, more. I mean, we spent a good amount of time there. We were only supposed to spend, like, a couple hours because we had a lot of driving to do, a lot more driving than I expected. I mean, I guess driving 15 minutes on the island of Magnetic Island and then being able to, if you hear some racket in the background, it's those dogs playing with each other.
One just bodied the other.
But yeah, we had some driving to do, and we actually spent a lot more time than we wanted, or like, we wanted to spend time there, so we did. So we ended up going to a cafe at a poolside bar. How would you say?
It was
some hotel
cafe. A classy hotel on the waterfront's pool restaurant.
Yeah, we were recommended to go to one place, and then it just kind of looked dingy and not really a good vibe. So we went to this nice hotel for a little bit of a lunch, and what happened?
Well, I had an amazing sandwich.
You had the best lunch.
Yeah, I really breakfast. Enjoyed it. But so we were watching the pool guests swim and whatnot, and the people who were just restaurant goers were not supposed to go to the pool. But we saw these little kids making a racket, like climbing the
apparatus.
Cabanas. Yeah, the apparatuses holding things up. And I was thinking, like, oh, it's so awkward. The lifeguards, if they have any, are going to have to yell at these guests' children. And then we realized that they weren't even guests of this hotel. They were just restaurant goers who let their kids run amok.
And these kids, how old would you say they were? Three of them. One was like a little...
Probably like eight.
Eight, six, four, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, eight, six, three. The youngest one was pretty young. So
yeah.
Yeah, and so we were just watching them, looking at them, making a racket. And then all of a sudden, I see the middle child, I think it was the girl.
Yes.
She's just wearing like a little skirt thing.
She's wearing a dress.
A dress, yeah. And all of a sudden, she just starts taking off her like underwear and pees in the pool, standing and peeing in the pool where everyone can see her. No one does anything. No parents come over, no people do anything, but...
I don't think anyone saw but us.
It was just, what's going
on
here?
She was just peeing, standing up, and then just put her underwear back on.
Yeah, I don't... The Australian parents do not care whatsoever.
Just standing ankle deep.
Ankle deep, yeah. I was shocked.
Ruining it for the real guests.
Shocked. I think some other guys saw and was like, what the heck is going on?
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that was funny. Airlie Beach was cool, and we did get to explore more because we have a car this time.
Yes, and that was nice.
But I remembered right before we left that on our honeymoon, we made friends with this really, really fun couple, Kate and Mark, from Australia. And this was in Thailand on Koh Samui Island. And they live in Airlie Beach, and she's friends with me on Facebook now, and she would always periodically message me, like, come see us in Airlie, come see us in Airlie. And I forgot, we were just about to leave, and I was like, oh, Kate is going to think I'm so rude because I didn't reach out to her because I forgot that she lived there. And I finally reached out, and then so we tried to stick around a little bit longer in case she responded in time. She did not. But
yeah, we filled the time with going to their public swimming pool, which is like a big lagoon It's like a massive swimming pool because I don't really, Airlie Beach is pretty far north, so crocs and stingers and all that sort of fun stuff. So they built these beautiful, nice pools for everyone to swim in.
It was huge.
Massive.
Like a football field's length.
Yeah, and we got to swim in it, and it was just like a classic public pool, slimy water.
Yeah, slimy. It wasn't too bad. Everyone was happy to be there.
Yeah, everyone was really happy to be there, and it was a wicked hot day, so it felt good to jump in and relax and wait for Maxie's and my friend, to answer. What was her name? Kate?
Kate.
Yes. And she ended up answering like the next day.
Yeah. So we're already gone.
Yeah. So we had to hit the road. But
we also went to Chute Harbor, which is outside of Airlie Beach, was really cool and pretty blue water.
Yeah. That whole area is really unique. And I'm happy we saw it again. It's like you could spend so much time in just going from beach town to beach town to beach town here. And like you'd be satisfied. Like it's so amazing, each of these little communities. They're lovely.
Yeah, and they've been getting better and up better in terms of like Aussie culture as we get back to civilization.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we had to hit the road for a little bit more time, and we were planning on going to this little place called Finch Hatton, but like I feel like I didn't realize how far we had to go each day. Like
I didn't realize either.
5 hours a day. And you kind of in the outback, you're like, there's nothing to do. So like 10, 12 hour days are like not that big of a deal. But like when there's things to do and you have to drive 4 or 5 hours, it like takes up a lot of time because it's like, oh, you want to stop, you see this, stop, you see that. And then that adds an hour onto your journey. And turns out you're driving for 7 hours for the day. But we ended up stopping along the way at just this mom and pop caravan shop. Oh, what a rhyme. How about that?
Caravan shop.
Caravan park. Which was nice. I mean, the caravan parks are getting cheaper. Like, I think when Marshall was here, they were like $50 a night Australian. Yeah, this one was easily like 20.
Yes.
And had good facilities, average facilities.
Yeah, it was really nice and tiny and cute and safe.
But. When we were walking in the bathroom at night, or coming back, like getting ready to go to bed.
And we both didn't bring our phones for flashlights.
No lights. We swear, we all like inches away from stepping on like this coral colored snake. It was striped snake, basically.
Coral? I thought it was like white striped.
Oh, I thought it was red and black.
It was hard to see in
the dark. Which seems more menacing.
But then again, we're also not sure if it was a snake because we didn't have a flashlight.
But there was no stick there in the morning after.
This is true.
That snake encounter was later on. Well, on Fraser Island, when we went there, two snake encounters. One, we were driving in our car, and probably a meter long, 3.5 foot snake was just crossing the road so slowly. I got out and
Corey was interacting with it until cars came up behind us and we had to move.
Well, it was just a beautiful looking snake. Like it was like green and brown. I don't know. It was cool. It was a cool snake, and it didn't seem to be bothered by a car moving by it. And then another snake, which was a scary snake. We were just standing up on a sand dune, and we were like at sunset, and we were watching the water. And I turn around to start going down, and this black snake darts across the small sandy trail. I don't know, black snake.
Across the trail?
Well, it was like halfway. Its tail was like halfway in the trail. So then I was like, we're not going up this trail anymore.
I didn't see that one, but I think the striped ones are creepier than the black ones.
I don't know, because the black ones, I feel like you can never know what they are. You know, they could be something venomous, but
true.
Like we could probably Google... I put it on my story, the snake, and the only response I asked people what they thought it was, and the only response I got was someone saying it's the bunker catching snake. So if you have those around, they will bring you more bunker.
Who said that?
Spencer Engstrom. So he said it was a good luck sign to see that snake because it'll bring us a lifelong of fish.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so Corey wanted to go mountain biking at Finchatten Gorge or National Park, whatever. And I was going to go look for platypuses, if that's how you say the plural. And yeah, so maybe we'd do some swimming in the gorge. But it absolutely downpoured the night that we stayed at this mom and pop caravan park.
Yeah, same place we saw the snake. It was, I've never had a thunderstorm or lightning storm last all night long.
Oh, it was bad, actually. I forgot.
The lightning lasted, I think it probably started around 10 o'clock and lasted maybe till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Easily. And it was hard pouring rain. Like, we were, the tent was soaked. I mean, we were pretty dry inside. The tent does a good job of keeping most of the water out, but kind of lets some in around the zippers. So, like, your pillows get wet and, like,
yeah,
that's about it. But
the noise.
The noise, just, yeah.
Oh, it was not a good night's sleep.
And the constant flashing, like, yeah. The lightning.
It was close to us.
Like I said, no idea how the lightning storm could sit above us for, like, 7 hours.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it did. And then I made, after it poured all night, I made the decision, probably not a good day to go biking. Afterwards, the trails would probably be shot. So we just moved along. What was our next spot? Yeppoon?
Yes. Is that where you mountain biked?
Oh, that was Rock Hand. Yeah.
So, because we didn't really have time for the mountain bike stop anyways, I guess. But then we made time for a different park.
So later that day, we were in Rockhampton, and there was like only like four networks of trails on the way down from Magnetic Island to where we are now in the Sunshine Coast. And I was like, oh, maybe it'd be fun to hit them all. But they were just like, I completely underestimated how much time driving takes. But we did have enough time to do one called the First Turkey Trail in Rockhampton, just outside of Yeppoon. And we were filling up gas. And I just finished paying and walking back. And these 2 8-year-olds start chatting me up saying, is that, should I do the accent? Mike, is that your bike? And I said, yeah, it's my bike. You guys like it? He's like, oh, Mike, that's the sickest bike I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
And they were loving the bike. So
no, it was the most adorable conversation. I was in the car with the doors shut, but I could hear it anyways, and it was so adorable. They were obsessed with Corey.
I said, mate, you do tricks and stuff on that, mate? And I said, yeah, I do. I do flips and all sorts of fun stuff. And they were like, oh, that's so cool. If an 8-year-old or 2 8-year-olds think you have a cool bike, you have the coolest bike.
Yeah, and they were completely unsupervised on like Razor scooters.
Yeah.
And they just love Corey, and he was very nice to them.
Yeah, I gave him a little bit of a yawn, and then I went mountain biking.
They were like, if we see you on the trails, will you do a trick?
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, and the trails, I'd rate them, let's see, the First Turkey Trails, I'd give them a C+. Not really that good. Lots of climbing, lots of spider webs, lots of rocks. I guess they call it Rockhampton for a reason. And the downhill trails weren't that fun. So climb up for not that much fun. Wouldn't go back. Yeah.
And then we made our way to Yeppoon, and it was about sunset. And it was very hilly and beautiful, all these rock cliffs and rock features in the water. And we really liked it. It kind of felt like, just in that lighting at least, and at that time, like with all the people leaving work or whatever, it felt like a mini Sydney, maybe just because it was the first town that people collectively want to live in for the aesthetics of the beach, where you could swim, kind of. You could kind of swim here. Speaking of crocs. But yeah, it was really a nice little community.
And we went to like a cafe in the morning and checked it out. Yeppoon, it's a really nice town. Like I said, like, these beach towns are all beautiful, and it's crazy that there's so many of them, and I'm sure every single one of them is like different in their own way. But yeah, they're all so nice, and it's takes too much time to check them all off. But I don't think we've seen a beach town we don't like.
Nope.
That's a fact.
And it was really windy there too, so that goes to show how nice it was. It was very windy. It was hard to sleep.
Yeah, hard to sleep. Too. Yeah, we were cooking up some food and talked to some Tassie guy, And I like, so I didn't know what this meant. The phrase, are you fair dinkum? I had no idea what that means.
Someone asked you that in Western Australia.
Yeah. Someone asked me that. They said, are you fair dinkum? And I was like, what? No, what does that mean?
You kept saying what? And she kept repeating it.
Yeah. She kept repeating the same thing. And I thought she was just like pulling my leg. I didn't think that was like, she knew I was an American when she was saying it to me. And it was so funny because that day I was telling Maxie, I was like, I don't think people actually say like, are you fair dinkum? And then we were talking to this Tassie man at...
Did you define it?
So fair dinkum means... actually,
like, are you serious?
Yeah, like, are you serious? Yeah. Are you for real? Yeah, so we were talking to the Tassie man while we're cooking up some burgers and dogs. And he was like, we were telling him about something, and we told him like we were doing a big lap, and he's like, oh, fair dinkum. And I just so funny that that happens when I'm like, people don't actually say this, and then someone actually says it to us.
Yeah, I thought that they say it, but you just have to be very like Australian to say it.
Yeah, he was super Aussie, super nice guy too.
Super nice. And then we got done with our dreaded taxes for the US government. We extended it.
Yeah, we got it in by the deadline. We did it.
Because who doesn't love working at the last second to get your taxes in? But honestly,
working at the last second at a caravan park that doesn't have good Wi-Fi,
yes,
is the way to go.
But Corey and I were laughing so much during our taxes. Don't tell the IRS, but we just like had a good time doing our taxes together. And if I had like foreseen us having a nice time doing our taxes, maybe we would have done it earlier, but I just don't like thinking about serious
marital
things.
Bonding, that's what taxes is, because this is our first time married filing jointly.
Yes,
so go us.
And for some reason, lots of laughs.
Yes. And then another, taxes are a bore, but something is so exciting.
Drum roll, please.
That could be super loud.
Hopefully Corey didn't hurt your ears. We received a notification from Trusted House Sitters that the host from Magnetic Island, who lied about us, sent us a message. So we opened that message, and she apologized for lying.
Yes, it was an absolute shocker. Max and I gave her every possibility. Like, I messaged her saying, hey, I think you got the wrong idea. We'll tell you what happened on the SID. Let's meet up and talk. No answer. And from then I was like, oh, she's not answering this. She's not answering at all.
Because this woman was very active on the messenger of this app.
But she answered what she said.
She finally said, dear Maxie and Corey, I would like to retract my previous statement regarding your house sitting. I have spoken to Sharon and others who are relaying the correct information to me, and that is you walked and looked after Winnie admirably. So my apologies, I hope, are accepted. And by the way, Spuddy came home. I hope you enjoy your next sit. Cheers, Clarissa.
So Spud came back. The cat came back, guys. We didn't lose a cat. It was just
temporarily.
Just temporarily. It has a collar for a reason. But shocking turn of events.
Yes.
We did not see this coming.
I didn't think that she was like the type of person that could apologize. So I'm really impressed.
Yeah. And
I thought that was big of her.
Yeah. I mean, she's doing the right thing now. Because her, like, I don't know what she got. Like, hers, I don't know where she got her information from at all. Like, she was just straight up lying, or a neighbor just had no idea what they were talking about.
Yes. One or the two. Maybe she had a bad flight, 30 plus hours trying to get home to an island from England.
Yeah, island.
But so yeah, we thanked her for her apology and asked if she could either change her review or take it down. And we were just very kind about it. And she said, Maxie, I'm in contact with Trusted House Sitters and trying to get my review amended. So
hopefully the review can be taken down, because they've been giving Maxie a hard time about it.
Yeah, I reached out to them once and they were like, no, everyone's entitled to their opinions. And I was like, well, here's the proof that we walked the dog every day for 50 something days, more than the homeowner told us to walk her, like, or sorry, further.
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory or a little bit of insight into trusted house sitters. I've dug around on Reddit a bit, and it is they're more pro homeowner than house sitter because there's so many more house sitters than homes to sit for.
Yep.
So whenever, like, say the roles were reversed and we were the homeowners and Clarissa wrote us a bad review, I've seen stories of homeowners just completely getting these reviews erased because they want to still have more people to, like,
putting up
to run the
sits.
App.
Yeah.
Because if there's no house sits for people to do, they can't run the app.
So they're giving me a hard time. And I was just like, look, like, this is a lie. I have proof that this is a lie. If she's lying, this shouldn't be reflected on our profile with all 5-star reviews. And they were like, nope, nope. Policy, policy, policy. And I mean, I hopefully they change it now that she's asking because she's the host. But I basically said to them, like, that doesn't make sense. So I could go to my next house sit, write them a review at the end of the sit and say their neighbor said that they're really awful people. They abuse their dogs. And I could just make up the whole story and say their neighbors told me this and that they're bad home or dog owners. And you're going to keep the review up? Even though, because I'm entitled to my opinion, even if it's lies, like, it's just wrong. It's just really wrong.
Yeah, so hopefully Trusted House Sitters does the right thing and either lets her amend the review or just deletes it. I wouldn't mind if it was just gone. Like,
yeah, I'd prefer it to be gone because she might, like, switch it to 4 stars and I'd just rather it just be gone.
Yeah, agreed.
4 stars is fine. We did lose her cap temporarily. But I'd just prefer it to be gone.
Yeah, so that was a shocking thing to see on a big day of driving. Definitely the one of the exciting things of the day. But another exciting thing of the day was the Bundaberg rum.
Yes, they have a giant rum bottle. It's one of Australia's most famous alcohols. So the Bundaberg rum.
Yeah, we got a really a great classic photo and sitting in front of the Bundaberg rum. And it was like
pretending like we were passed out.
Yeah.
At the foot of the bottle.
Yeah, we were kind of, today, that day went by so fast. I don't know why, but we were driving, it was a 5.5-hour drive, and we did, like, some side detours down to, like, Gladstone, and I forget where the Emu Park were, some other things to see. Oh, in Emu Park, there was this singing ship where the wind made noise through the mast of this old ship. Well, not an old ship, but just like a, how would you call it? Like
artwork.
Artwork, yeah.
Statue.
That was cool to see. And we were kind of in a rush because we were heading down to
Harvey Bay
to meet some of our friends, Charlotte and Giacomo.
Yep. Our good Italian and British couple friends that we met in Townsville and that those same ones that visited us on Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see them at their house at... They actually took a page out of our book and got a house sitting job.
For 2 beautiful dogs. Those dogs look so like a lot of fun. They're like Lab and Vizsla mix. Hungarian Vizsla and Lab mix.
And the other one was a golden.
Yeah.
Yeah, something
so
like that.
Big. They're like big dogs, which was...
Yeah, very large. So they made us dinner and it was just the nicest thing ever. Oh,
the dinner was phenomenal.
I was in a daze from just the long day of driving, but all I remember is how delicious that dinner was. Yeah. And they're vegan. We like vegan food, but that just goes to show how good of a chef Giacomo is. He works as a chef. But he made us the most delicious pasta.
Yeah. Shout out Giacomo. Thanks for listening, brother.
Yeah, thank you. He also listens to our podcast. So that was so much fun. They're a really great couple, very funny.
Oh, and they also let me keep my bike in and my bike rack in their house they were staying at because Fraser Island, we'll give you a little bit of an insight in a minute, but it's basically a sandy island and you're driving on the beach. So I didn't want to get all sand and get the bike all rusty and how it's been beat up enough. So thank you guys for letting me keep your bike with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And that gave me access to our back door of the car without having to ask you to take your bike off.
Yeah, having no bike was a real, real good thing. And we ended up going to a really quirky caravan park that night.
Yeah, it was a farm stay kind of.
Yeah, it was like a bush camp farm stay.
It's almost like these farm stays have way more pride in their facilities and their amenities than caravan parks half the time.
Yeah, the showers were like a copper pipe with like little holes drilled in it. And then so it created, it was like a rainforest shower.
Yeah,
I don't know the proper term for it. Super clean. Like it was a lot of these
quirky, you know?
Yeah, a lot of these bathrooms that you shower in, like you don't want to take your shoes off because like we wear shower shoes so you don't get like any foot diseases. but this one, I was like, oh my God, it's so clean. You could go barefoot in here. Yeah. I'm sure all Australians go barefoot, but
it would have been nice to spend longer there, but
yeah, in the morning after what happened?
A dog appeared. A black lab appeared named Rosie. We found her name on her collar.
Turns out she's the manager.
Yeah, it turns out she's the caravan or the farm stay owner's dog. But
I thought it was just a random dog at first.
Like no, yeah, I thought it was a camper's dog. And she just came straight up to us and let us pet her for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And like as soon as we started petting her, she laid down and was like, please give me more pets.
Yeah, she was so sweet. But then we had to go early in the morning to get on the Fraser Island ferry.
Yes, we went to another island, which is the Great Sandy National Park. It's called Fraser Island. Kagari or Gari, I'm not sure how to say
it. It has so many names.
The island with the most names. And a little bit of an explanation is this is just one massive sandy island. There's like very little limited rocks, but it's all sand. Like most beautiful white sand and you drive on the beach and you drive on these sandy smooth tracks. It's all off-roading. You got to have a four-wheel drive to go there. And it was amazing.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I didn't go in with many expectations. I knew it was one of Australia's most famous places to go. But, yeah, it's very famous because it's like 4x4 cars only, lots of beach driving, lots of off-roading. But I didn't expect much beyond that.
Yeah.
And it's really surpassed my expectations.
It was like one of the first things. I would say like if you're going to Australia and you want to do like some like Australian adventure thing, go fly into Brisbane and rent a 4x4 and do Cape York for 4 days.
No.
For more. I mean, not Cape York. I hate Cape York. Fraser Island. Cape York is what you do not do.
Yes, do not do Cape York. Go to Fraser Island. It might be expensive because the ferries so
expensive.
And you have to get a 4x4 in order to get to the island.
Yeah.
But it's a really iconic Australian adventure.
Yeah. So basically you get off the boat, you get off the ferry, you got to lower your tire pressure, throw it into four-wheel drive, and then you're off. You're on all single track off-roading sandy tracks.
They're really smooth for the most part.
Yeah, the well-traversed ones are pretty good, but there are like some off-roady sections. It's definitely the most. It was like we were there for 4 days. It was 4 days of off-roading, and well, it started with us like navigating through one of the most beautiful forests.
This island has the best trees of anywhere in Australia. It's almost like they took every amazing tree from across the whole country and they just let it grow rampant on this island because it's full of the most gorgeous trees. And I feel like I don't talk much about trees. I like boba trees. But the trees here were just unreal.
Yeah, I can see, like, I can totally see the 4x4 draw. Like, earlier in the year, I was a little bit, like, cautious and didn't really love off-roading that much, but the more I've done it, the more I've enjoyed it, and this was the most enjoyable experience off-roading I've had. And like these tracks were amazing, just your windows down, the fresh air coming in, and just these massive trees that you could like touch with your hand outside the window if you stopped, and just this narrow single lane track. It was so much fun to do.
Yeah, I really would go back for sure.
And some of the highlights there are, the first one that we had to see was Lake Mackenzie. Mm-hmm. Shout out Pat Lasky.
Yeah, Pat Lasky's favorite lake.
Yes. I think it's my favorite lake now, too.
I think it has to be everyone's favorite lake. It's basically like being at a Caribbean island with crystal clear, pure white sand and crystal clear blue water up for like up to, I don't know, 30 feet out further.
Yeah, so there's like this, since it's a sand island, like the bottom, like normally bottoms of lakes are gross. Like,
yeah, but this is a lake on a sand dune.
Yes. So it's pure white sand and then the sand dune drops off. So yeah, like 30 feet of like nice shallow area and then it goes to like 100 feet deep.
Yeah.
Which is, it's crazy when you like dive underwater and see like, it's like going to the deep end of a pool, like that gradient that goes down. But it, like 10 times that just like drops straight off. And
I don't know if it's 100 feet.
I think it's really, it said 30 meters.
I thought it was like 9 meters, which is like 30 feet.
I thought it was 30 meters.
One of us is right.
It's either 30 meters or 30 feet.
But yeah, it looks like you're at a beach, but it's fresh water. So you don't get all salty and gross when you swim in it. And it looks crystal blue.
Yeah, the most clear water in a lake I've ever seen.
Except for the areas in the middle where it drops off. It looks like a normal lake, but...
Yeah, definitely my favorite. I'll rank this lake number one lake on Corey's favorite lakes list.
I agree. My favorite part actually was how at the end of the beach, there was this underwater pathway.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the way across to basically what felt like an island.
Yeah, it was like another side of the beach, but it felt like an island.
And so we had to like either swim or walk on this pathway through the lake. And you end up on like this remote island feeling area.
Yeah, that was really nice. And we spent basically all day there. I feel like this was one of our adventures where we like gave ourselves enough time to like enjoy the thing. Like, usually I feel like we're running one thing from another. And a lot of Australians, what they do is just do nothing all day.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a book out of, or we took a page out of their book and kind of just like did one thing all day. And then I feel like later on in the trip, we're like, let's see more things. And we ended up doing more things. But the first day we just saw Lake Mackenzie and then went to one of the campsites, which are right on the beach behind the sand dunes. So the wind isn't really affecting you. And we found a beautiful campsite and we had some visitors.
Yes. Fraser Island is famous for its dingoes. Mm-hmm. It's
Ate your fiance.
The dingo ate your baby. The dingoes are the most pure dingoes in Australia because they aren't able to mate with the wild dogs that are not technically dingoes, which you could find on the mainland. So mainland dingoes are all interbred with, or I don't know if that's the right word, but have mated with wild dogs. Yeah. These
are purebred dingoes.
But the dingoes on Fraser Island are just pure dingoes. So we saw a bunch of them. A dad ran through our campsite with his son or daughter,
mm-hmm.
a little puppy, and left it behind. The dingo just left the baby behind, and he liked us. And you're supposed to tell them to leave. So we were telling them, like, please leave, please leave. Because if they get too comfortable with humans, they have to put them down and you don't want that. Or they could hurt you as well.
Yeah.
But the puppy must have liked us because we were talking to it. Like, you have to go, you have to go.
He kept coming back.
He kept coming back to us all night.
So now we took him and he's ours.
Yeah, so now we have a dog.
Just kidding. Australian government, if you're listening, we're just kidding.
Yeah,
but the little baby was adorable.
And it was absolutely heartbreaking that he got abandoned.
Yeah.
Because they walk or they trot and run for up to 40 kilometers a day. So they're on the go. Like when you see them at the campsite, they kind of just see if you have food and then they keep on going and they go far.
Yeah.
So he got really left behind.
And they're smart too. Because like one, we cooked dinner and he was like hanging around us when we were cooking dinner because he could smell the food. And we finished up dinner, packed up shop, and just went on a walk down the beach. And then we saw him laying down in the sand dunes, And then as soon as he saw us, he ran back to our camp because, like, we cleaned up our dishes outside and just, like, had just a little bit of food scraps, like, that were mixed in with, like, our...
The soapy water.
Yeah, soapy water. And put that in the bush. And he found that, and he saw that we weren't at camp, and he went back. And when we went back to camp, he was there sniffing around, eating the scraps.
And there were multiple spots for people to be parked and camping, but he went back to ours. Like, he knew that he we were on a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wanted us to adopt him as his parents.
Yeah, and that was our first day on Fraser. That was the awesome first day. And to start off the next day, we were going to do a couple other things. But on the beach, we were driving along and see a cop on the beach. First off, that's a funny sight to see, is police with their lights flashing on the beach. And then there was a line of cars. And we're like, what's going on here? What was happening?
Random breathalyzer test at 10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 a.m. Random breathalyzer test, RBT, as they say, down under. That just shows you Australians just drink all the time.
They have a drinking problem if they're getting breathalyzed at 10 a.m. Like, that would be more effective to do in the evening, we thought. And then we arrived at our next destination, Eli Creek, and these dads were all ranking on the police for doing this because there was, like, an obvious exit if you were drunk. And
you could go around, basically.
Yeah. So, and they were drinking beers at 10 a.m., like, trash-talking this cop for doing the breathalyzer as a joke, basically, because you could get around it. And everyone else in this creek was also drinking.
Yeah, so this creek was basically a lazy river that you walk down a boardwalk and then float down. And
it's amazing.
It was so fun.
Fresh water.
We didn't have any floaties, which we kind of wanted in the moment, but we swam down it and just floated on our backs. And
well, the current was strong enough where you could just float the whole way. You didn't even have to swim it.
Yeah, it was nice. I liked it, and we went down twice.
Yeah, I floated on my back most of the way. It was so much fun. I would do it again.
Totally, me too.
And a lot of people go to Fraser Island in big groups, so, like, I understand why they're drinking. So I'm not, like, making fun of these people. Like, they're having a good vacation all together.
Yeah, back in the States, I want to go on more group camping outings.
Yeah.
It just seems so much fun. Like,
yeah. But in the moment, Corey and I are like, who would be drinking at this hour? It's, like, honestly too early to get in this freezing cold creek, let alone... Yeah.
Crack open a cold one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing down the beach. The beach is, like, a 75-mile beach or something. I think that's what they call it. There was an old shipwreck.
Yeah, so cool.
From late World War One, a little bit after.
Or it was 1935.
Yeah, so 1935.
And it was a really, really big ship. They had photos of it when it was... shipwrecked, and it was really, it looked massive in as the remains on the beach where the waves were crashing through it.
It would have been bigger though.
But it was even bigger, like Corey said, in the photos. And we read a story about how someone got married on the shipwrecked ship. They asked the government, like, hey, can we use this as our venue? This was the year after it crashed, so it must have been still quite nice.
Yeah, so it was a salvage ship. They were selling it to somebody in Japan and were transporting it. And it mistakenly, like, no one really wanted this ship because it was, like, decommissioned and they were going to scrap it for parts up in Japan. And basically, they drove it up in a storm and the storm washed to the shore. And then basically no one had ownership over it, so they just left it there. And so it was super nice and they... like, two people had a wedding on it. It was used for, like, military trainings.
I guess the military bombed it, so that's kind of why there's...
Yeah, that's probably why it's even more scraps now.
But it was really still large and fascinating to look at. And then our next stop was the Champers Pool.
Champers Pool.
Corey wrote that on his Strava, which made me laugh, because Australians abbreviate everything, if you didn't catch on to that. And they call champagne Champers, which is just the most ugly word to hear.
Yeah.
Compared to champagne.
Champagne.
Yeah, that's way better than Champers. So we went to the Champers Pools.
Which are basically a rock pool. You can't swim on these waters because of the currents are ripping and marine stingers. and sharks, I think. But mainly the currents are really bad and you'll get swept out to
sea. It's so messy, the waves there.
But the little rock pool is a small rock formation that like traps water, and it's just a little rock pool. And Maxie went in. I didn't because I was freezing.
Well, you were in, like, but I like went fully in and you didn't go fully in.
Yeah. And then we saw a man of war blue bottle.
Yeah, a really big blue bottle floating around. But it's a really gorgeous area, and it's the only safe place to swim in the ocean on Fraser.
Yeah, and then we... So you got to kind of worry about the tides on this island because there's some things that are like impassable at certain tides. And we were heading up to Ocean Lake, which is another lake on the island that's the closest lake to the ocean. And in my head, I thought that this was a campsite. And in my head, I thought like it would be like campsite on one side and then ocean on another. But there was actually like almost a mile in between the lake and the ocean. And the camping area was closed, so we just camped at one down the street.
Yeah, and it didn't even have a beach at that lake. It just had a rope swing with just a couple trees cut down where you could hop on the rope swing, jump in, climb out. There is no beach.
No beach.
So we didn't really miss out on much there. But I really liked our campsite that night. It was the most exposed to the wind, but it had a gorgeous view of the water and the waves.
Yeah, and we got to see whales. We've been chasing whales all year long, and we finally, our neighbors at camp pointed them out, and it was awesome to see whales.
Yeah, their blowhole spray.
The spray, yeah. We ended up seeing them again on the night they were leaving. Maxie spotted them.
Or the morning we were leaving.
And what, like, he, like, came out of the water.
Yeah, he was breaching and doing the humpback thing. I just saw, like, a giant top half of a whale sticking vertical, and then I saw him and his buddy spraying all the way down the horizon.
Yeah, whales are really cool.
Yeah, we saw
fan of whales.
We saw them pop up a bunch.
Now I think we've seen every Australian classic animal.
Yeah, it's funny because we were not actively chasing whales, but we just happened to be following them around.
Yeah, we've been having to be like on their same migration schedule.
Yeah. they do the big lap
every year. Yeah.
And then since the dingoes, they have so many signs on this island about the dingoes because they think that the dingoes are going to eat everybody, but they're really just
they're timid.
Yeah, come to find out they're just kind of like your average dog. They're not aggressive like that. I'm sure they can be.
Yeah.
If they are given the opportunity
to eat. And probably towards kids, like, yeah. Scary, but...
Yeah.
They have a lot of areas on the island that are fenced in so that dingoes don't go in and you feel more safe in there.
Yeah, so there's, like, very few towns on this island and they're fenced in. And as we were driving through one, we were leaving and about to head out the gate back to the beach, and Corey noticed this plank that was leaned up against the gate so that the dingoes that do get into the gate can exit via the plank.
At least I think that's what it was. It looked like one of those dog training things at the Westminster show where like the dog hops up on it and runs off.
I think that was definitely what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny to see. And that was on our way back down to another campsite. So this was the next day, checking out the little town. And we wanted to go see one of the sand blows or...
sand dunes.
Bunch of sand dunes. I don't like the name sand blow. That's what they call it, though.
The plural is sand blow. So we went to the Wungal sand blow.
Felt like I was in Dune. Felt like I was in the book I was reading.
I think that was my first ever sand blow. I've obviously seen like small scale dunes on the beach in like Rhode Island and other places.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've seen the coral pink sand dunes in Utah.
Yeah, that was super windy when we went there.
Yeah, but this was much larger scale compared to this.
Huge, like vast land. It was, we did like 3 miles on the sand dune.
Yeah. And it was really, really cool. It was basically uphill the whole way out. Like, the sand dunes kept going and going and going, and we kept getting false summits.
Yeah.
And then we finally reached the top. Very steep cliffside, and Corey was jumping off.
It's fun, because you just sink right into the sand.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize that that's how it works. So then I finally worked up the courage to kind of jump. But Corey was launching himself down the giant steep sand dune.
It's so fun. I love sand dunes. I love this sand dune. I would rank it number 2 out of Corey's sand dune ranking list. Someone needs to create a graphic for these two lists I've made.
What's number 1?
Great Sand Dunes National Park.
Great. Yeah. And then we came across a national park ranger cleaning a bathroom. And Corey started chatting with him. And we gave him the regular, "You guys have yaois out here" comment. A yaoi is a Bigfoot in Australian language.
So we're getting into yaoi territory now. We've heard stories of yaois on Fraser Island. And this area of Australia is known for Bigfoot, known for that kind of thing.
I just want to say, like, Americans laugh at the idea of Bigfoot being real. A lot of Americans do. Australians do not laugh at it, and they take the question very seriously, and they, like, see Bigfoot as a real thing.
Like, it's in Aboriginal culture. It's like, they treat it as, like, yes, this thing is 100% out there.
And they tell you, like, which national parks and national forests in which areas they live in. Like, it's very a concrete thing that's here.
Yeah, and they're like, don't go here at night. Don't camp here.
So you guys might think that we're being really silly, but we're being very serious.
Yeah, it's like a real thing. And I asked them, "Oh, I heard you got yaois out here on Fraser." And he was like,
he was mid-sweep because he was sweeping the floor, and he stared at the ground in such a hard focus, and he basically was like,
he's like, I haven't seen any, but a lot of people see some weird stuff. And then he went in to tell a story where he's seen what he says was either a yaoi or a crocodile standing on its tail.
Well, he thought it was a yaoi because he was telling us about this different national park in Queensland where he saw one standing across a billabong, which is a body of water. And he said it was massive. And he said either that or it was a crocodile standing up. I don't know if they could do that, but it was either a yaoi or a crocodile standing up. And then he started to, like, reason with us of why he would suggest a crocodile. And he said, well, crocodiles travel.
Basically, he saw one and was telling us. So.
No, he was into it.
But luckily, we didn't see any on Fraser. We made it out unscathed, but we still got a lot of yaoi territory to go.
Yeah. So, who knows?
Yeah, and we continued our drive down. Basically, if you have a map in your head of this island, it's a long island, pretty skinny, 75 miles long, probably 40 miles wide. And so our night 2 was at a campsite almost all the way to the north end of the island. And then our night 3 camp was down at the south end of the island. So we did a lot of heading south, adventuring down the island, and one of the stops, just driving along, we saw this massive whale head skull bone.
Yeah, whale bones.
Never seen anything like it. It was like the size of a couch.
Yeah, the size of a cow.
Yeah, cow. It was this huge, huge whale head that I just, like, we saw on randomly on the beach, and we pulled up next to it, and so, like, people have signed it and stuff. Must have been there for a while.
Yeah, I'll post the pictures on @GoodDayPod on Instagram. But as we were the first ones to stop at that moment, at least, because Corey saw it out his window. And when one car saw that we were stopped, they pulled up. And then suddenly 14 more cars out beside that first one pulled up as well.
Yeah, and it happened to be just a convoy of 15 people from Tasmania. We also had Tassie plates. So I think they wanted to chat us up, and they were a little disappointed when we heard we were not from Tassie. But it was crazy that there was that many dudes, like
15 cars
worth of people.
All from Tasmania. But yeah, besides the whalebone, I saw a lot of dead birds in the flying position that looked charcoal black, just all over Fraser Island's beach. I don't understand. I think it's a conspiracy. I think they're dropping out of the sky.
They were probably government spies, and now they got zapped.
Yeah, not to describe anything morbid, but yeah, I just want that on record of how sketchy that was. Weird.
There was a lot of dead birds around the beach.
It was really weird. They're all, like, in flying position.
Another weird thing about Australians.
Yes.
They love to skinny dip.
Yep.
So.
Or they love nude beaches, I guess.
They love nude beaches.
They try to make Fraser Island a nude beach because it was...
I feel like we talk about nudists every week.
Yeah, we love it.
I hate it.
It was broad daylight and no one swims in the ocean. And we discussed the whole time that we were there. No one swims here because it's just so dangerous.
The currents were bad. The waves were huge because the wind was whipping.
And so we didn't see one person swimming. And then all of a sudden Corey goes, oh, here's two people swimming up here. So as we got closer, we saw their bare behinds.
Booty cheeks.
And they were skinny dipping in broad daylight just on this beach that everyone drives up and down 10 feet away from the waves.
Yeah.
Very odd, very odd.
Very odd, Aussie.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and again, we were kind of racing the tides, getting back. We didn't want to be stuck in the soft sand at high tide. And we wanted to see one more thing that was called Lake Wabi. W-A-B-B-Y, B as in boy. But funny enough, this island has a wadi, D as in door.
W-A-D-D-Y?
Yeah.
So Lake Wabi and Wadi. But
we wanted to do a hike to Lake Wabi.
Because it's a lake in a sand dune again.
Yes, and... like, just this, I'll just say this. The signage on this island, it felt like you were going to a place and you just didn't know what was there. Like, you didn't know where the roads led. You didn't know where the trails led.
You didn't know if that place was actually at the end of this road.
Yeah, like, the distances at some places were off. And we, like, started hiking down a trail that we thought was only going to be, like, 900 meters or, like, 3/4 of a mile hike round trip. And we got like a mile in and we're like, there's what's going on here.
Probably less. But then we just kept persevering because we were like, we got to get there quick or the tide's going to come up too quick. So we were basically speed walking, speed hiking. And then we realized this lake is not here. We're in the wrong spot. This is either Lake Wadi with the D's or something's wrong.
Yeah. And it turns out that the trail that said it was 900 meters was from the other side. So it was like a 30-minute drive around, and then it was a 900-meter hike. So we ended up doing that the next day, and we went to the viewpoint. We didn't end up going to the lake just because we were running low on time. We had to catch the ferry off the island.
But it was kind of like a overcast, wet day.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have swam. But next time, save it for if you want to. If any listeners want to come back to Australia with us in some time, we would do this.
Yeah, we kept saying, like, we'd love to come back with a group, mm-hmm. like multiple cars. It just seems like the place to go in a group setting.
Yes, and it would be fun. Like, this is, like, I would say it's a very beginner off-roading track, except, like, I would, the roads were much smoother than any other off-roading track that we've done, but I somehow broke two bowls.
It's okay. I only bought the four set of bowls plates, bigger plates, and yada yada, the four sets, because Marshall was coming. So.
And we thought some other people might visit us, but Marshall was the only one so far. You guys still have time, but...
not really.
Yeah.
Realistically, we only thought Marshall was coming.
True.
For the record, but he's came and he's went, so...
yes, so two bowls is enough.
Yeah, as long as you don't break another. But it's weird because it wasn't bumpier than Cape York or some of the other places we've been.
It was weird. I don't know. Maybe just like the sand was, the back bounced a little more and just broke and also spilt some. I just bought like new bike cleaner degreaser and it spilled that in my bag. So that was a hassle cleaning up.
All over everyone's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, we ferried off the island back to Harvey Bay.
Picked up my bike.
We got a...
said goodbye to Charlotte.
Yeah. Bye, Charlotte. We didn't get to see Giacomo. He was at work. But we helped her kind of tie up some loose ends for an application for her student visa.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
yeah, then we had to... there was... we kind of, I don't really know if this was, I think it was the right, well, it was the right move because we spent the most amount of time on Fraser Island and got to our new house sit and meet our house sitters and the new dogs.
Yeah, they're the best.
Yes.
So I was just going to say, we got an underbody car wash.
Oh, yeah, underbody car wash. That was really cool. So hopefully no rust is built up and our car is wonderful.
Not our problem in a few weeks.
Facts.
But no, it's a perfect car. So yeah, we got to Umundi. Which is right off.
I say like Yamundi.
Yamundi. Yeah.
But it's spelled with an E.
Yeah, so it's right off the like Nusa Heads area, which is very popular.
Yeah, one of the most touristy places now.
So we're just like 15 minutes inland in like a very beautiful farm country, very hilly. People have horses and donkeys walking around their front yards. On
our street, yeah.
On our street, on other streets. I saw too many ponies. Well, Corey pointed them out.
It's a really nice area. Like, I would say it's like that area we loved up in north called the Tablelands, but this one is 15 minutes from the beach.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Like, I've never, it's like country, but close to the beach.
Yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm very happy to be here. If I was buying a house, I would probably buy something right on the beach. but I do understand why so many wealthy people want to live here. Yeah.
And it's so refreshing. We got in here and it's a beautifully cleaned house. Like, ugh. No cockroaches like the last one.
Funny enough, it's the same style. It's a Queenslander house, just like the last house set. But it's the exact opposite. It's clean and white and gorgeous.
Yeah, and the homeowners were really, the dogs, they're two Australian shepherds.
Cattle dogs.
Australian cattle dogs, yeah.
Well, one is like a stumpy mix with a cattle dog and one's a cattle dog.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They're so cute. Their names are cuddly. Banjo and Betty.
Yeah, I really am liking these dogs so far.
And the owners are pretty cool too.
Yeah, we got to have dinner with them. They made us some nice dinner and shared stories. The owners' names are Emily and Adam.
Emma.
Adam.
You did call her Emily though last night.
Oh, did I?
It's okay. Shit. I don't care. But they were super cool, and yeah, they loved traveling. And she was telling us the funniest stories from their travels, or from her travels especially. And one of them was when she was younger, she backpacked for like 4 years around the world, and she spent a lot of time in England, and then went to Eastern Europe and whatever, but she wanted to go back to England, and someone told her just hop on a student visa to stay longer. So she did that, and then she ended up going back to England 2 weeks after said school would have started their courses, and the government, like the TSA in England, detained her like all day,
took her passport.
Yeah, and they kept asking like, why would you be 2 weeks late to classes if you're actually a student? And she said, I got an extension. And they were like, yeah, but you're arriving on like a Monday afternoon. Like, you would have arrived over in the weekend if you were starting 2 weeks late. And they just held her all day. And she said that she had a lot of nerve back then and kept telling them that she was not lying, but she was lying. And then they said, okay, just appeal whatever we're going to fine you with. Just appeal it if we're the ones that are wrong. You can appeal this and you can get away with doing the right thing if this is incorrect, but otherwise you only have a month left to leave England in 30 days. Since British Airways flew you here illegally, basically, they are responsible for flying you back to Australia where you came from, and yeah, they'll handle it. You'll get your passport back when you come back to leave England. So she contacted British Airways and she was like, okay, can you schedule my flight back after the 30 days, but do I have to pay for this flight? Like, I don't know what's going on with the legal system here. Like, do I have to pay for this? And they said, no, we have it all under control. So they booked her this flight. And then when they landed in Sydney, they announced her name on the speaker of the plane and they said, please make yourself known as you're leaving the plane. So she waited to be the very last person to leave the plane just so no one would witness this. And then as she left, they handed her a bill for $3,000 to pay for her flight that they arranged for her. And she was like, I don't have $3,000. And you told me this would be a free flight. So then they were like, nope, you have to pay it. And she just never, ever paid it.
And well, she wrote a letter saying, yo, I'm not paying this. You told me not to book my own flight or else I would have.
Right.
And then she wrote them a letter and then never heard from them again.
Yeah. So that's just a funny story. It's especially funny because the same day yesterday, we're in Harvey Bay helping Charlotte try to stay in Australia on a student visa. So it was silly to hear that.
That was nice. But then the homeowners left pretty early in the morning and we were with the dogs.
Yeah, they're the best. And we went to the Amundi markets, which are the town's famous for its markets. And we'll go, it's twice a week, so we'll go back on Saturday.
Yeah, the markets were pretty good. And we checked out some, it's cool because we've been to some of these areas now. We visited Gabe and Johnny, my college roommates up here when they studied abroad. And we went to like one of their classic surf spots that we watched them surf at and got some good pics of them at.
Coolum,
yeah.
We'll check out Noosa, which they brought us there.
Exactly. And speaking of Johnny, I got a call from Johnny's my Navy SEAL friend or almost Navy SEAL friend. And I haven't really heard much from him lately, but he gave us FaceTime and I haven't seen what he looks like in 3 years now, just because we've been
begging him to send a selfie, especially since he joined the military. And yeah, we know they make you cut your hair, so we're like, just show yourself to us.
Yeah, so he gave us a sneaky little FaceTime, no sound, but it was him and his Navy SEAL boys on a like a little pontoon boat cruising along the San Diego shores.
Pontoon boat,
not pontoon boat. What
it was like a dinghy.
Not yeah,
they were steering dinghy, with the yeah. motor.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, they're all geared up.
Shout out Gabe and Johnny. Oh, yeah, and then the last thing that we just did, well, we had some dinner. Maxie made some nice pasta, but I went to check out more mountain biking trails, and honestly, A+. Really nice flowy trails, beautiful climbs, beautiful forest with massive trees. Loved it.
Yay.
And I will be back.
I know, we're pretty boring. That's all we kind of do at these house sits.
Mountain bike.
Yeah. Markets, mountain bike, and some dogs. Beach.
Take care of the dogs.
Yeah, we mostly just do dogs all day long.
Yeah. But I think that's it for this week, guys. This was a pretty long episode.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you have a good day.
Miss you guys. Have a good day.